Hello, everyone. Let me wish you a happy Easter. We are so glad that you have decided to join us for our service here at Grace Assembly of God Church in Greenwood, Indiana. My name is Wayne, and I'm the pastor at Grace. And thank you for joining with us for this online experience. This is an Easter unlike any we've ever had before because we're all online, but we're online together. And of course, we're part of a big family, the Church of Jesus Christ, all around the world, billions of people celebrating the fact that Jesus Christ is alive. The greatest event in history, we're going to celebrate that today. We're going to sing about that today. We're going to look to God's Word about that today. We're going to pray. And so I just want to encourage you, join in with us. If you wouldn't mind taking a moment, whichever platform you're on, Facebook or live stream or YouTube, would you take a minute and just say, hey, I'm here, and tell us where you're watching from. We would love to just acknowledge you. We've got some online hosts who are ready to engage with you, answer any questions that you might have. So for the next few minutes, let's worship. Let's just decide that we're going to celebrate Jesus. We're going to celebrate hope today. We want you to join in with us. So let's pray. Let's ask God to move in this Easter service. So God, thank you for your Son. Thank you for Jesus Christ, who lived and died, but thank God he rose again. And today, God, we pray that the power of Jesus would fill this place. It would fill that living room, fill that kitchen, fill that automobile with the presence of God. Lord, you said that the same power that raised Jesus from the grave now dwells in us. So we ask for that power to work today, give miracles, give hope, give faith, give courage, give peace today in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's worship.
Welcome to Easter Sunday morning, everybody. I hope you came to praise the Lord. We're going to give our risen Savior some praise this morning. Yeah.
I was lost with a broken heart. You picked me up, now I'm set apart. From the ash I am born again, forever safe in the Savior's hand. You are more than my words could say. I'll follow you, Lord, for all my days. Fix my eyes, follow in your ways. Forever free in unending grace. Because you are, you are,
nothing.
this hope in me. How you hold the stars, yet you hold my heart. One who's first and last, wiped away my past. Perfect royalty, made his home in me. To the one who holds the stars, we lift you high, we lift you high. To the one who holds our hearts, there is no other, there is no other like you.
We lift you high. you're at right now, I want you just to worship Him. Come on, in your home, in your car, on your sofa, on your back porch of your house, at work, I want you to just worship Him right now. We worship You. You're beautiful, so beautiful. Jesus Christ, we magnify Your life for Your majesty. For Your majesty, we crown You King of Kings.
Dear Jesus, I thank You for today. God, I pray that You will be with each and every student who has been affected by this virus, God. I pray that You will be with us as we are transitioning to online school, Lord. I pray that this will just go smoothly and that we will be able to figure every single thing out. And I pray, God, that we will still be able to do all of our work with integrity and do it all to glorify You in the name of Jesus. And I pray for every single senior who has been affected by this, God. I pray that You will just go comfort them, God, and give them Your peace. And I pray that You will just reassure them that You love them so much and that You are here for them.
And Heavenly Father, we know that it's Your plan for us to serve each other through business, through our work, to honor You with our efforts, Lord. And I just pray for those who have lost those opportunities, or maybe they've got fear, their creative process has slowed as entrepreneurs. Bring new life and restoration, new hope and strength in this season of Easter. We're so thankful, God, for business. Restore those opportunities and those relationships through business in Jesus' name.
Heavenly Father, I come before You on behalf of all hospital healthcare workers, nurses, doctors, respiratory therapists, and all other ancillary staff, Heavenly Father. I pray for strength, peace, wisdom, protection, and safety in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that You would be with us while we are caring for these patients during these very trying times, and I pray that this would all be over quickly.
Dear God, thank You for this day. I hope the frontline workers are doing good, helping others, and they don't get sick. We pray for the people that are sick and they're getting better. We pray for the families that are staying home and staying healthy.
Father, we thank You for Your faithfulness. We thank You for the families and everyone that's listening to this prayer. God, we ask for Your peace that passes all understanding, would flood their hearts and their minds, and give them grace and mercy. And thank You, Lord, for Your faithfulness to provide every need that we have. We thank You, Lord, and ask that You would bless mightily every person that is within the sound of our voice.
I pray for a hedge of protection, Your army of angels, to be upon each and every one of us, our police officers, our firefighters, EMS, first responders. God, I pray that You would bring peace in this nation, God. I pray that You would help us to do Your work through Your hands. To You be the glory. We love You and we thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.
We want to wish everyone a happy Easter from our family to yours.
We want you to know that we love you and we miss you. We're praying for you and we cannot wait to see you again when we can gather.
We are all here for you.
Even though we can't see each other every week,
we just want you to know you're not alone during this time.
You are not forgotten.
We miss seeing your faces, and not just on social media.
What I would give to hug every single one of you right now. So come on, let's lean in. Sweet.
This is a tough time, but don't let that deter you.
He works all things together for good. So get off the couch, turn off Netflix, and see what God has for you in this crazy season.
We are so proud of our Grace family, and we're constantly hearing great things that you're doing out there in the community. Way to go.
Thank you for making a difference.
We are praying for you daily, knowing that Jesus is
our provider,
our healer,
our peace,
our comfort in time of need.
He is our refuge and hope.
We may not know what the future holds, because things can change from one minute to the next.
We know that God is in control. And we want you to know that
we are family and we love you.
We're all in this together.
Helping out one another during this trying time.
We must remember who the answer is when we face the little things, as well as when we face things of this magnitude.
Stay safe, stay healthy, and stay close to God.
He's the waymaker, the miracle worker, the promise keeper, and the light in the darkness.
Even though we can't see it, he's working.
Spring is here, and we know that God is working all things out for his purpose and plan.
So join us as we pray for each other, our families, our finances. We're expecting victory in 2020.
Thank and pray for our frontline heroes, doctors, nurses, medical staff, law enforcement, teachers, and all essential workers.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
From the bottom of our hearts, thank you so much.
So everyone have a happy Easter, and we will see you soon. God bless you.
Do you feel the world is broken? We do. Do you feel the shadows deepen? We do. But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? We do. And do you wish that you could see it all made new? Is all creation groaning? Is a new creation coming? Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst? And is it good that we remind ourselves of this? Thank you.
Thank you again for joining us here for our Easter services online. And how about if you raise your hand if this is your first time attending an Easter service online? I'm raising my hand, so this is my first time too. So we're all in this together celebrating Easter. And of course, Easter is a holiday with lots of traditions. Some people do Easter baskets. Some people have chocolate or Easter egg hunts. Some people even like those nasty little stale marshmallow peeps that last forever, but lots of traditions. And of course, many times Easter traditions have to do with the clothes that you wear and getting dressed up. And of course, that's probably not going to apply to a lot of us here on this particular Easter. So I did see a meme online for a sale at Walmart for Easter dresses. Of course, these are nightgowns. So just happy Easter, all those of you that are watching in your pajamas here today. You know, one of my family's favorite traditions for Easter was we would go to KFC. Now, growing up, my family didn't have much, and so we rarely ate out. But twice a year, on Easter and on Mother's Day, after church was over, we would stop at KFC for a bucket of chicken. So I'm guessing for a lot of us, watching Easter service online is not an annual tradition. And again, for most of us, it's our first time doing Easter this way. But I wonder if God might use this season and this very unusual Easter to maybe help us peel back some of the traditions of Easter and really help us to focus in on the story of Easter and the power of Easter. Because after all, Easter is not about a holiday. It's a person. Easter is a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. Easter is not even a story to tell. It's an experience that God wants all of us to have, including you and me. And so I think the big idea I'd love to communicate to everyone here today is that Easter is powerful when Easter is personal. Easter is powerful when Easter is personal, because Easter is not just the story of Jesus. Easter is my story. Easter is your story as well. When the angel in Matthew 27 comes to the woman, remember the women had come to the tomb on the day of the resurrection. The angel said to the women, "Don't be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said." And the angel says, "Go quickly and tell." And the rest of the verse says, "Go tell the disciples." But if we make it personal, I think the angel is saying, go tell Megan, and go tell Steve, and go tell Bethany, and go tell Jay, and go tell Mark. Because it's a story that all of us need to hear. It's a story that affects all of us. And so let's talk about my Easter story, our Easter story here today. And of course, with all great stories, it has a great ending, or at least has the opportunity to have a great ending. But we have to start with the Easter story at the beginning, which means the Easter story is, first of all, it's a story of pain and suffering. See, Easter story doesn't begin on resurrection morning, but it actually begins with Good Friday. Jesus is betrayed by Judas. He is arrested and then falsely accused. He is scourged by the Roman soldiers, and then he carries his cross to Golgotha, where he is violently crucified. But remember that physical suffering is only part of the story, because the Bible says that Jesus bore all of the weight or the consequences of sin on himself on the cross. I think the Old Testament prophet Isaiah put it a very powerful way when he said that Jesus took up our pain and bore our suffering. I want you to notice how personal this is. "Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. the punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds, we are healed. You see, we're in this story. We are in these verses. You are, and I am. As a matter of fact, we could go back and make it very personal. As a matter of fact, with all the verses I'm going to share today, I want to encourage you to read it out loud and put your name where there is a personal pronoun. So let's say, read the verse this way, that surely he took up, go ahead and say your name, surely he took up Wayne's pain and bore Wayne's suffering. And Wayne considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted, but he was pierced for my transgressions. Insert your name there. And he was crushed for Wayne's iniquities. And the punishment that brought Wayne peace was on him, and by his wounds, Wayne is healed. You see, Easter is powerful when Easter is personal. And we see just how personal it is in these verses. Because if there was no you, there would be no cross. If there was no you, there would be no reason for Jesus to suffer and die. You see, this is our story as well. Our story doesn't begin with the resurrection. It also begins with pain and suffering. And of course, in our world in these last few weeks, we have seen a bit more suffering than normal. As a matter of fact, in our church family, there are a number of families in our church who have had family members pass away recently. Some of them were as a result of the COVID crisis. There was a young lady in her 20s who passed away just last week. Last year, she was invited to our church and gave her life to Jesus. And God did wonderful things in her life, but just last week, she lost her battle with cancer. Another family in our church had a nephew in his 20s, just recently married, as a matter of fact, who died just after a long battle with leukemia. And then we have one of our members of our church who's been a member of our church for a long time. His mother passed away recently at 93 years of age. Now, the good news is that all of these people that I just mentioned, all were followers of Jesus, which meant they decided that Jesus was going to pay the price for their sin, and they weren't going to try to pay the price for their own sin. But let me just take a moment and just reach out to anybody who's watching who's experienced loss recently. I just want to remind you that we serve a God who is described in the Bible as the God of all comfort, a God who is near to the brokenhearted, a God who loves you and me so much that he actually allowed his own son to die that we might have life. And I think the words of Mother Teresa might help us when it comes to pain and suffering. She said that pain and suffering have come into your life, but remember, pain, sorrow, suffering are but the kiss of Jesus, a sign that you have come so close to him that he can kiss you. May whatever you're going through right now draw you to him, and may you feel his wonderful presence in your life. Let's take a minute right now, and I want to share with you the story of Ethan and how God has changed his life as he shares his Easter story.
I was raised by a single mom. My father moved out of state, worked out of state when I was young. So I did go to church as a young man. Mostly primarily to see my grandfather. When my grandfather passed away, that was the end of my church days. I never really developed a relationship with Christ. My definition of being a man was being mean, tough, I fought a lot, caused me a lot of problems. I had a really gruff exterior. That caused a lot of burdens in my life, a lot of weights, a strangulating yoke that I was carrying. And 2005, 15 years ago this Easter, I was invited by my father-in-law to Grace Assembly, where I accepted Christ into my life. Immediately, I felt those burdens shed, the strangulation hold was released, and Christ started to show me what a true definition of a man is, which is empathetic, walk with humility, be humble. And through Christ, that is strength, and that is the definition of being a man, and that's who I am today.
Easter is not just a story of pain and suffering, but it's also a story of amazing love. And of course, throughout this crisis, we see pictures of love everywhere. We see it in the medical professionals who are showing up to work every day, working punishing hours on the front lines of this pandemic. We see it in the first responders who continue to show up on those calls, not knowing what to expect. The postal workers who are still delivering the mail. The cashier at the grocery store still ringing things up for us. They all deserve our thanks and our prayers. And of course, the love that is shown by our food pantry volunteers who are feeding hundreds of people every single week, or people making masks for local hospitals. There is a lady in our church who's championing the idea of writing notes of encouragement to people who are in seniors who are in assisted living facilities or nursing homes because they're not allowed to have visitors at this time. People like my mom, who hasn't been allowed to have a visitor for several weeks now. So let me take a minute and say, Happy Easter, Mom. I love you. And when this is all over, I'm going to bring you some KFC. A few weeks ago, USA Today and CBS News and many major news outlets reported on the story of an elderly priest in Italy who was sick with COVID-19. And rather than have a ventilator to save his life, there was a shortage of ventilators at that point a few weeks ago. He chose to give it away to someone else younger than him. And the news went on to report that that priest, that elderly priest, eventually died. See, that's love. That's amazing love. The kind of love the Bible talks about in John 15, verse 13, that no greater love has anyone than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. See, you can put your name in there too, because it's referring to Jesus. This is the Easter story. Because in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, it says that this is how we know God loves us. And if you're wondering at all today, does God love me? This verse puts it to rest. This is how you know God loves us. Put your name in there. This is how I know God loves Wendy. This is how I know that God loves Joe. Because while we put your name there, we're still sinners. Christ died for me. Christ died for you. You know, and I think in order for us to truly grasp how much God loves us, we've got to get a picture and understand how personal all of this was to him. You see, you are personal to God. How do I know that? So when Jesus said in Luke 23, verse 34, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I think Jesus was looking into the future and he saw you. And he was saying, Father, forgive Brian, forgive Peyton, forgive Bethany, because they don't know what they're doing. God gave his son for us. He gave his son for you. Remember that Jesus lived a perfect life. He didn't sin one time. He was flawless. That's amazing love. Now, I have two sons whom I love very much, but I wouldn't give them up for you. And you probably wouldn't give up your sons or your kids for anybody else. But God did that. That's amazing love. Tim Keller said it this way, that God loves us as much as he loves his son, or else he never would have allowed him to die in our place. What an amazing thought. God loves you as much as he loves Jesus. Wow. That's why we sing Amazing Grace. It's an amazing story of love. I want to show you one more story of somebody who has found the power of Jesus, the power of Easter, to change their story as well. Watch Taylor's story.
I grew up in a family that didn't really go to church, so I never really knew who Jesus was. And because of that lack of relationship that I had with him, I was very insecure in who I was because I didn't know whose I was. And I felt very abandoned, and I felt like not a lot of people loved or cared about me. And I struggled very severely with depression and anxiety. And then my friend invited me to youth group, and I eventually gave my life to Jesus. But it really wasn't until this past summer that I started living living my life for Jesus. I started pursuing after my calling. And because I made that decision, because I made that connection, I'm confident in who I am in Christ because I know that I am His. I'm confident in my calling. I know that He has a special purpose and a plan for me. And I don't struggle severely with depression or anxiety anymore because He's healed me of that. And so I made that connection and God's given me the peace and the comfort and the joy that I so desperately needed in my life to live the life that He called me to.
So Easter is not just a story of pain and suffering. It's not just a story of amazing love, but it's also a story of rebirth. You know, on the first Easter, the angel in Matthew 28 came and told the women who had come there, Jesus is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see Him. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy. You see, they came to the tomb mourning and crying, but they left with joy because of the resurrection. I think that can happen to you too. You may be in a season of pain and suffering. You may be in a season of mourning or loss, but I think that you, because of the resurrection, you can leave today with joy. Now, Jesus died, and He was in the tomb for 3 days, and I want you to put yourself in the position of His followers, because to them there was just silence. There was nothing. There was lots of doubt and even fear. But in the silence, God was working. In 1949, Mao Zedong took over as the leader of the People's Republic of China after the revolution there. And at that time, when he took over as leader, there were approximately 750,000 Christians in China. But Mao's mandate was that he was going to wipe out all Christians from China. Well, within 3 years after Mao's death, it was estimated that there were 3 million Christians in China. And now today, it's estimated that there's more than 100 million Christians in China. You see, there's some amazing things that can happen in the silence. There are some amazing things that can happen if we take the opportunity for a rebirth. What if during the silence, what if you take the opportunity to learn something new, maybe a new language? Maybe you learn to play an instrument. You learn to cook or learn a trade. Maybe you get on YouTube, because you can learn anything on YouTube, right? And learn a skill. Maybe you can reconnect with your family or reconcile with a family member. Perhaps you say, I've always wanted to do this, fill in the blank. Do that now. Start a new business. Maybe even start a career. This was your life before COVID-19. This is your life after. I think right now there's an opportunity for rebirth. I've learned a long time ago that I'm going somewhere that I've never been before, I need to surround myself with people who are smarter than me. And of course, this is one of those seasons. And so for the last few weeks, I've been on phone calls and conference calls with pastors and business people, people who I trust. And one of the business leaders that I was speaking to, I asked them the question. I said, what do you see coming of this? What's in the future? And one of them said to me, he goes, I'm not a prophet. He goes, but I was jogging one day and I was praying, God, what's going to happen? And he goes, and this has never happened to me before, but I saw this vision of all these waving American flags. He said, I think there's going to be this resurgence of honor and pride in America. And then a lady that was on the call who is a global business leader, she said, it certainly looks as if we're going to experience many months of pain when it comes to the economy. She says, but I see it all roaring back. I see it being stronger than ever. Now, that's good news, because this doesn't have to be, it can be a time of rebirth for all of us. So let me just take a moment and encourage you to join us next week. Next week, we're going to begin a brand new series from the book of Hebrews called Better. And we're just going to study what the Bible says about these people who are having a very difficult time in their lives and how it made them better. I think you're going to be encouraged as you join with us for these next few weeks as we talk about how tough times can actually make us better. And we hope you'll join us online. Now, I think the butterfly is a great illustration of what I'm talking about when it comes to rebirth. Because the butterfly has three phases of life. First, he's a caterpillar, and then he goes into a cocoon, and then becomes a butterfly. Now, when it all begins, the caterpillar is just a worm, right? And all he does is eat. He's preoccupied with himself. But then there comes this season of his life where he is in this cocoon or this chrysalis, kind of symbolic of a tomb or a quarantine. But in order for the transformation, for the caterpillar to become a butterfly, he has to struggle out of that cocoon. There has to be pain and suffering. There has to be this struggle. And without the struggle, the butterfly will never emerge. But ultimately, he does. And so I like this picture that says, just when the caterpillar thought the world was over, it became a butterfly. See, I think that can be your story. Just when we think life is over, God can turn us into something great. This is the Easter story. This is your story. Because the Bible says that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if anyone, and again, if we make it personal, we put our name in there, if Wayne is in Christ, Wayne is a new creation, old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. He's talking about rebirth. I read an interesting poll from McLaughlin and Associates earlier today, and it finds that almost half of Americans, 44%, believe that this deadly coronavirus is a wake-up call for America to turn back to God. And then almost a third of them, 29%, think that this means that we could be in the last days predicted in the Bible. I think if there's anything good that can come out of this crisis, it's that so many of us are beginning to realize that this life is very fragile and that our soul, the part of us that's going to last forever, that's actually the most important part of us. Last week, I was on a conference call with a longtime friend of mine who spent most of his life as a missionary in China. A few weeks ago, he contracted the virus and became very, very sick. He battled it out at home for a while, but ultimately became so sick that he had to go to the hospital. And so the ambulance came and picked him up, and he just described on this call, he just talked about the amount of pain that he was in. Now, the good news is after 13 days of being in the hospital, he's totally recovered, and he's back home now. So praise God, there's hope. But something interesting he said in this call, when I was in that ambulance, there was so much pain. He said, I asked God, God, am I going to die from this? You know, I think that's a powerful question because we're all going to die. You know, it may be from old age. It may be from disease, but maybe stupidity. But I heard a statistic once that still holds true that 10 out of 10 people die. But our spirit doesn't have to die. In fact, Jesus came so that our physical death wouldn't have to result in our spiritual death. He came that we could be reborn or born again. As a matter of fact, I like how somebody said it, that Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. You see, your Easter story is being written right now. Right now, your story might be a story of pain and suffering. But because of the love of God, it can end in rebirth, in a brand new you, a brand new story. So before we pray, let me ask you two more questions. Here's the first one. When is your birthday? When is your birthday? Now, hopefully you know it. I think we all know it because it's pretty important to us because we were there. Regardless of where you're watching from right now, I want you to join me. On a count of three, tell me when your birthday is. Let's all say it out loud, and I'll say mine. 1, 2, 3. September 2nd, 1969. Now, why did you know that? Well, because it defines who you are. It was the beginning of your physical life. But Jesus said there's another life that we have to have. And John chapter 3, verse 3, he said that no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. And again, if we make it personal, we put our name right there and says that Wayne can't see the kingdom of God unless we're born again. You need to be born again, reborn spiritually. So that brings me to the second question was, when was the date that you gave your life to Jesus? Now, for me, it was April 1978. I was 9 years old. You see, I grew up in the church, and I literally have been in church from the first week I was born. But going to church doesn't save you. And so I realized at 9 years old that I too needed to commit my life to Jesus Christ. And I just made a decision that from that day forward, I was going to follow Jesus. And by God's grace, I've been following him ever since. You see, just going to church is not going to give you a rebirth. Being a good person is not going to give you a rebirth. You see, Easter is an experience. Easter is a person. His name is Jesus. So if you've never given your life to Christ, or you don't know if you have, I want to invite you to do that right now. How do I do that? Well, let me explain to you the gospel of Jesus Christ. Somebody summarized it in this way, very simply. The just and gracious God of the universe looked upon hopelessly sinful people, that's us, and sent his son, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, to bear his wrath against sin on the cross and to show his power over sin in the resurrection so that all who turn and trust in him will be reconciled to God forever. I'd like to pray with you today. If you've never given your life to Christ, or you don't know if you have, but you know you need to, let me pray this prayer with you. And if you would join with me and pray this prayer out loud right where you're at, pray it this way. Dear God, thank you for Easter. Thank you for the cross of Jesus. I agree with you. I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. I put my faith and trust in the death and resurrection of Jesus to save me. I want to be born again. I surrender my life to you. From this day forward, I confess Jesus is in charge. Holy Spirit, I invite you to live inside of me and give me the power to serve Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Today is your spiritual rebirth. Today, if that's you and you gave your life to Christ, then today is your spiritual birthday. And so we want to congratulate you that now Easter is not just a story in the Bible. It's not just a holiday. Now it's your story, and you've got a story to tell. As a matter of fact, we'd love for you to tell us if you have prayed that prayer just now and you made a decision to serve Jesus Christ. Would you take a moment and will you text the word SAVED to 317-653-6793. Just take a moment and do that right now if you would. Say, hey, I pray to receive Christ just now. Text the word SAVED to 317-653-6793. And we're just going to respond with encouragement. We want to pray for you. We want to help you as you begin to follow Jesus Christ together. Now, the good news about becoming a member of God's family is that it is a family and that you're not alone. And God wants all of us to serve him together. And so one of the things that we want for everyone in our church is to be part of a group. And so if you say, hey, I'd like to be part of a group, you know, whether you recently gave your life to Christ or if you've been serving the Lord for a long time, but you're not part of a regular group of people who are praying for each other and encouraging each other, we have lots of groups in our church, and we're starting brand new groups this week just for people who respond right now and say, you know what, I'd like to be part of a group. I'd like to get connected. I'd like to meet some new people. I'd like to just share life and be an encouragement to each other. Then would you text the word groups to this same number, 317-653-6793, and you'll get a reply with some information on how to be part of a group. So let me encourage you. Everyone should be part of a group, especially during this time of social distancing. It doesn't have to mean social isolation. Matter of fact, we don't want any part of that. We've got to stay connected together. So let me encourage you to make sure that you are part of a group. One more thing before we go. If you'd like to participate in giving to God through Grace, then you can do that at graceassembly.org/give. You can also text the word GRACEAG to 73256. So thank you to those of you that have already given online this week. Thank you for mailing in your tithes and offerings. Some have even dropped it by the church building. Thank you so much for doing that, for your faithfulness. You're helping us make a difference in our own community, around the world. You're making services like today possible. So thank you for your giving and for your faithfulness. So on this Easter, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. I bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. Happy Easter. Go with God. We love you very much.
Thank you so much for joining us online today. And we are so honored that you chose to celebrate Easter with us. Listen, before you go, whether you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, or on the live stream, your online host is about to post a link to our Easter connection card. Take a minute and fill that out for us. Again, thank you so much for joining us for Easter Online. Have a great day, and we'll see you next week.